Hi, everyone, and welcome to Admission Insight, a podcast series designed to give your family insight into the admission process, and even more than that, into the culture and opportunities available at independent schools. I'm Sharon Jarbo, Director of Admission and Financial Aid at the Pennington School here in New Jersey, and seated with me is my colleague, Billy Hockey. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Sharon.
So Billy has prepared a subject that is really near and dear to my own heart this time. I mean, I love all the subjects, Billy, but this one is special to me because it's about global education and particularly how well independent schools deliver this aspect of education.
Yes, we certainly do, Sharon. I think that global education has received a lot more attention in the last 5 to 10 years as independent schools have recognize the need to prepare our students to participate in an increasingly interconnected global community. So joining us today to dive into this topic is our very own Dr. Kendra Sisserson. Dr. Sisserson is a member of our English faculty here at the Pennington School, and she is the founder and director of our Global Studies Certificate Program. Dr. Sisserson holds a PhD from the University of Chicago, and throughout her career she has spent time teaching English at the University of San Diego, working in girls' schools across Pakistan, and with literacy teachers working with indigenous people in New Zealand, Guatemala, the Middle East, and Ukraine. Dr. Sisserson has been cited for her contributions to education by Qatar University in Doha and in the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. So I certainly cannot think of a better person to have with us today to talk about global education.
Welcome, Kendra.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get started, shall we?
So you say you want to apply. Private school, we're gonna show you what to do. Walk through the steps to take, and everything's gonna turn out great. We're gonna find the right fit, both for you and for your kids, based off school culture and needs. We're gonna bolster your chances to succeed.
So Kendra, why do you feel, or what has been your experience with independent schools and why we seem to be such rich environments for the promotion of global education?
Well, it's right there in the name, actually, right? That independent schools, here we're allowed, we're actually encouraged to have our own perspectives, our own beliefs, to create our own communities. We listen to each other rather than follow a path that's been determined for us. So our independence allows us that flexibility. And we're also nimble in practical ways. We can form relationships across national boundaries. So there are whole networks of independent schools that function not unlike a school district of schools might function, but these networks are transnational. And so we're always reaching across the borders. We're also known for the variety of voices that we bring to our own tables. Not just independent schools, but schools with a boarding component, of course, have always welcomed kids from all over the world to our schools. And when those kids come here, they don't just come here and sit passively learning what we want to tell them. They contribute, and they become community members, and our community grows from there. And so we're sort of automatically given this gift of breadth from the variety of kids who come to us and work with us. So it's almost global before you even think about global. Mm-hmm. It's almost, you know, it's our community, but it's global even right here in our dining hall.
certainly is. And, you know, I think naturally, as you're alluding to, that global culture exists here on the campus of independent mm-hmm. boarding schools. But that's not to say that we also don't work very intentionally to promote global education. So Kendra, when you came to Pennington, you had the opportunity to kickstart a global studies program. I'm wondering if you can share with families out there what your inspiration was for that program, the vision that you had, and really what you were trying to achieve by starting this global studies program?
Well, two things. One, on a very practical note, independent schools take their lead from universities, right? We're college preparatory institutions. So one thing that we're trying to do in a very practical way is create graduates who are prepared to take on the globally infused career paths that are let out from the universities that they're going to matriculate at it when they leave us. But also, here at Pennington, the idea of citizenship has always been embedded in what we do. And the idea that you're not a global citizen just when you take out your passport and go someplace else. You're sort of a global citizen always. How you treat the person sitting right next to you or right across from you translates into understanding that the person on the other side of the world deserves the same treatment, the same recognition of humanity. So when we put our program together, we were looking at those two factors. And from the practical side, we decided to target upperclassmen. We have a series of classes. We have some real nuts and bolts that our students actually complete. But it's also important to us, and this is another benefit of an independent school, that we be very reflective. And so we give students lots of opportunity to immerse themselves in sort of internship opportunities. And we have a global speaker series, speakers who come to campus and present sort of visions of ways that their global lifestyles have taken them both literally to places around the world and also metaphorically with some of their explorations. And we give students many chances to reflect on that. They create portfolios. We put on a sort of TED Talk-like series that we call Global Talks. And so all of these elements sort of come together to give our Global Studies Certificate Program graduates not just a toolbox, because that's important, but also sort of a set of understandings of their own values and beliefs and their position in the world. And finally, and this, I should have said this first because this might be the most important, both the willingness and the ability to sort of look around, see where change might be needed, and get up and take action for those changes.
So Kendra, the program you've launched is now in its third year. And I'm wondering if you can share some of the cool and wonderful programs that students are going on to get involved in, or areas of for internships and further study. What are our students doing?
Oh, they're doing the most stuff. It's so exciting. Well, first of all, because we're situated right between Philadelphia and New York City, we have kids doing stuff all the time. I'm taking a group of students on Monday night to the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights celebration in Philadelphia. That's right at our doorstep. We have kids who graduate and go into international studies programs, taking up majors that they may not have even knew existed a few years ago, and now they want to pin their whole careers on these areas of study. We have a student right now at NYU Shanghai who graduated from our program in the spring, and she's going to earn a double degree from NYU and the university in China. So it's really fascinating, the stuff that the kids are doing. We have students doing internships in Africa with immigration lawyers right here in Princeton. So it's really fantastic.
And I think sometimes when students are interviewing with us, they will say, oh, I saw that you have a Global Studies Certificate Program. I'm so interested in that. However, I'm not terrific at foreign languages and world languages. Is there an obstacle or a barrier there?
No. And I think that's a common perception, however. We do have lots of opportunities for second language learning, but we also have students who go through the program and focus more on second culture learning. So they take more of a multicultural approach rather than facilitating. Language is obviously part and parcel of learning culture, but there's a lot more that one can focus on in that arena, and so a lot of our students choose that path.
Great. So something that interests me is how global education has probably been able to do things now in 2018 that you couldn't have done 20 years ago. And I think technology plays a role in that.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak to some of the ways in which technology have enhanced this global experience for our students?
Oh, absolutely. Thank goodness for Skype. I mean, we do a lot just via Skype. In fact, our biggest enemy anymore is time zones, not technology, but finding a time when it's not too early or too late for the school in Pakistan who that's filled with students we want to talk with. We have partnerships with schools all over the world. We have a middle school teacher who is doing an ongoing project with a school in Kenya, and our students come in early in the morning to talk to the students over there. We have a teacher who is having her science students refurbish broken iPads, and she's going to deliver them to a refugee camp in Malawi. And we have a conference call with a school, secondary school, in the refugee camp tomorrow. And so, you know, these opportunities, it's just like picking up the phone and calling my mother in Florida, except it's, you know, it's on the other side of the world. And with the video conference aspect of it, they can really see what life is like for us here. We can really see what life is like for them there. We can take them on tours. We walk around with the kids with their phone cameras and ask questions, and they answer them. And it goes both ways. It's really fascinating.
I did see our middle schoolers doing the cha-cha last year with a school in Jordan, which was pretty cool.
That was great. I saw that. So, Kendra, in this ongoing conversation among educators and also prospective families about what is it that universities and companies and nonprofits are going to be looking for out of our 21st century workforce, how can we as schools prepare our students for success in the 21st century? Where do you see this kind of global studies program? How do you see that fitting in and contributing to that quest?
Well, we have to look at it in two ways. One way is what you might call the hardwire skills. Can students communicate? Can students write? Can students use technology, of course? But another big part, and that part that we're sort of constantly defining, are the soft skills. Empathy is a big one. Obviously, we've been talking about citizenship and humanity, but that doesn't exist without a sense of empathy. But how do you cultivate that? And so that's a soft skill. Perspective taking, asking, what's the story here, and who's telling the story, and whose story still needs to be told? How can I find that story? And the drive to take action is a big part of it as well. The willingness to dig down deep and help our students find that place where they say, something needs to change, and I'm going to be the one to tackle that. So working with our kids to kind of give them that recognition of their own oomph. You know, you don't put that into a kid. You help a kid pull it out of himself. And one of the newest ones is social entrepreneurship, which is also a new and evolving aspect of 21st century learning. But we sort of think of that as harnessing the drive that fuels businesses and using that to take social action to improve the lives of people or the environment or other social cultural aspects of living.
Fantastic. Well, Kendra, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this perspective with our families out there.
Thanks for having me.
I know you're famous for opening every class with,
good morning, global citizens.
So to you, our listeners, have a good day. Thank you for tuning in to Admission Insight.
So you say you want to apply to private school. We're going to show you what to do. Walk through the steps to take. And everything's going to turn.